Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, sauce boats. I actually planned to call you sauce bags, but my autocorrect on my computer corrected it to sauce boats. And for once, I thought, yeah, fair. That's better, actually. Hey, sauce boats. This episode is with complete and utter comedy dreamboat, stand-up and co-host of the stunning WTB or Women Talking Bollocks podcast. It's Alison June Smith. First up, I wonder if I could quickly thank you for listening. Thank you. That's as quick as I can say it. Extra thanks to any of you shouting about the podcast, either into the faces of your friends and lovers or into the ether on social media or by giving it a 5-star review. Thank you. My mightiest thanks go to my patrons. We are small, but we are essential, dear team. If you don't know what I'm on about, please do go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. It's a place I've set up where I swap very cool shit for a little bit of dosh each month from anyone able to help. And it's what funds the podcasts, and we do need more of you. There's all sorts you get in exchange for as little as £2 a month, from exclusive content, loads of that, bespoke videos from me just to you, ad-free and early episodes. Come aboard, please, if you can. patreon.com/thehooveringpod. I have a comedy series on BBC Sounds called Sturdy Girl Club. Get on that if you haven't already. And I'm soon going to be announcing that my 2024 tour show is on sale, which is fucking exciting. I can reveal the name. I'm going to tell you the name. It's called Metal, as in determined. This is a show about trying really fucking hard, because I'm cool like that. Keep your beady eyes on my social media, at Jessica Fostercue, and on my website, jessicafostercue.com. Right, let's get into this lovely episode. Alison and I met remotely, as she lives up in Manchester, and we were too impatient to wait till I was there or she was here. One warning, Alison talks about her complex journey with eating, and in doing so mentions tracking in terms of eating and calories, and also numbers of calories in certain things. Up to you if you can hear that today, please. Alison is Canadian, and I asked her to suggest what we ate for lunch. This isn't a warning. This is just telling you what's going to happen. The warnings are over. Alison, I don't need to warn. I do not actually, and I will never offer a trigger warning that one of my guests is Canadian. Alison is Canadian, and so when I asked her to suggest what we ate for lunch, she came back to me so fast with possibly the sexiest thing I've eaten, and certainly the most time I've taken on the podcast to enjoy it, that is for sure. You're about to join us, just as both of us tuck in to a freshly cooked, proper Canadian-style grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I've been spending my life until now thinking a grilled cheese was just a cheese toastie, and that's wrong. This is a fried cheese. This is a fried cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
It's not toasted, and it's not grilled.
No, it's fried in a pan, but they call it a grilled cheese sandwich. And yeah.
I can't actually sit in front of it much longer without sort of having a bit more flipping heck.
I haven't even gotten into it. Now, what cheeses did you put in yours, may I inquire?
Wow. Oh, can you hear the crunch? We need. Let's just take a second to have a minute with this. Oh, my God. Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's hard to have words. What is happening right now is there is buttery toasted. I don't know what kind of toast you have. I used a sourdough. I'm a sourdough girl myself. I've got three cheeses. I've got, I can never say it right. Emmental. I went with a apple smoked cheddar.
That's a nice
as well
shout.
As another mature cheese cheddar.
Oh,
so I've got,
that's such a good shout. So I went bread-wise. The lady, you gave me a YouTube video, which I think I'm going to have to put a link with this podcast, because the woman is really fun, isn't she? Natasha. Natasha! And she has a script, and she sticks to that fucking script. And her heart, I don't know if her heart is in this. And maybe it was a 50th, 60th recipe she'd done that day. She definitely didn't want to eat it all. Oh. But she kept eating.
Yeah.
Really intense. I loved it. But she used a bread called Texas bread. Never heard of it. But she said what was great about it. It looked a bit orange in her video. But she said what was good about it was thick. So I've got Warburton's extra thick white. Yeah, I love sourdough in normal life. But actually for this, I felt like, no, I'm going to go as close to the brief as Natasha was saying.
And that is essentially Texas toast.
Right.
Texas toast, because you know the thing is in Texas, it's just if it's bigger, it's better. That's the whole thing. So Texas toast is just a fatter piece of bread.
Okay, great.
That's great. It.
I love to hear it. And then she said, soften butter. I didn't need to. I keep my butter in a butter thing and that's perfect. This time of year, it was softened by nature. And then cheese-wise, same as you, Emmental. Then I went Gouda.
Oh, yeah.
And some cheddar. What I would have liked.
Yeah.
Is an orange cheese, just for aesthetics. What a prick. But what I love about this is I've used snazzy butter. That was like one of those like West Country butter with chunky crystals of salt in. And the whole thing is so salty now. I'm into it.
Oh.
Yeah. And because you said, and she said, that it's traditionally served with a tomato soup. I've done that as well.
I made a tomato soup. Oh, you're so good. I'm dipping it in.
What I loved about Natasha's video is Natasha also showed us how to dunk a sandwich in some soup. And I did like that just in case we were like, I mean, do I go up then down or down then
you
up?
You never
do
know.
Do I put it right in? Do I just skim the roof? Okay.
Yeah.
This is the best lunch I've had in a really long time.
Cheese, bread, and butter. You can't really go wrong. It's kind of like, you know.
Do you have a, do you really make it with tomato soup? Or is that like a step too far? And why would you do that?
So a lot of people like it with a soup. I usually would have a grilled cheese with a soup. I've tried it with other soups. I mean, I've had, you know, your chicken noodles, your...
Okay.
I've had other soups. But there's just something about the tomato-y taste with the cheese that it just is like, you know what I mean? It gives it that kick. It gives it a delicious...
There's a freshness to the tomatoes. I feel like it's acid with fat. Acid with fat is fucking delicious, right? Like acid add umami. Is working.
Yeah.
My tomato soup's like a cheat tomato soup. It's an Anna Jones recipe. It's tomato, miso and sesame. It takes 15 minutes. It's like chopped tomatoes, spring onions, a tin of tomatoes, boiling a tin. You refill the tin with boiling water, a couple of tablespoons of miso. And then if you can be asked, you can make this like tahini and miso thing to stir into it with some sesame seeds. But the whole thing takes like 20 minutes.
Oh my God, that sounds
it's
amazing.
It's a good cheat thing.
I cheated in that. I just went with like... What are they called? Ball soups? B-O-L or whatever? It's just, it was literally tomato and red pepper. And I was like, there we go.
Voila.
I'm inspired when people make soups. You inspire me. Because I've always been a soup lover.
Mm.
I love a soup, and I like a wild soup. The crazier soup is, the more I'm like, get it in me. Oh. The best soup I've ever had, prepare yourselves.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Okay, a dill pickle soup.
I would try that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't promise if I'd like it.
Look, if you like pickles, you would enjoy it. It's a lot of Polish soups are pickle-based. Okay. So there's a lot of like cream of pickle, and it's a lot of like cream of, it's pickle, it's a little bit of chopped up potato, but the best dill pickle soup, because in Canada, North America, we have dill pickle. Not just garlic pickle, we have dill pickles, which are a whole different taste. So it's like chopped up really fine pickle. Go with me here. A little bit of ground beef, some onion, and then I don't know what the other seasonings they were, but it was like a brothy. Oh my God, it was. I still think about that soup to this day.
Fuck on. So was it like a clear soup? Like a really thick, like a, like a broth.
Like a broth.
I love those kind of soups. What a funny combination of flavors. I had no idea about dill pickle being a North American thing.
Yeah.
I know I am a quarter Austrian and they love a clear brothy soup, but it's very much like a twist on the chicken. It's all like, it will be like a chicken. There will be a chicken that's in a pot for a few days.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the skeleton. That's not what they call it, is it? Carcass?
Carcass. Carcass,
yeah. Skeleton. The ghost of a chicken. A broth, a chicken broth.
I am now always going to call chicken soup a ghost chicken soup. It's ghost soup. It is.
It's part of owning our carnivory, isn't it? Our omnivory. It's referring to the soul, the departed soul of everything we've eaten. Yeah, but then there'd be like very thin noodles in it, or they'd do a thing where... So you'd have like ground up tiny little bits and bobs, but it'd be chives rather than dill, and then it'd be very salty, which I love. And then sometimes you'd have very skinny noodles, but sometimes you'd have these like little suety dumpling things, but they're not like big round guys like you get in stews. They're like little... quenelles of like something more like polenta or something, or instead they'd make very, very, very thin pancakes and cut them into tiny, tiny strips, so like shredded pancake in there. How fits that in a broth?
God!
Yeah, just to throw some wild soups your way.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah.
If anyone listening has that exact recipe and how to exactly make it, please let me know. In fact, I encourage any of your listeners, if you've got wild soups, find me. Find me somewhere on social medias and send me some soup recipes. The wilder the soup, the more I want to try it. Yeah.
Also, they feel like summery soups. These don't feel like, I think soups get, a lot of the time in my house as well, if I'm honest, resigned to... autumn and winter foods. There's such a good way of shifting a load of roots veg out of a cupboard drawer. Do you know what I mean?
Like
I don't think of, apart from this, actually, this tomato soup, I don't think of soups as being like that summery adventure. Fucking hell, yum.
I just spilt a bit of soup on me, guys. Fair. But no one can see it, but I'm still telling you.
Also, I have to say, my favourite, a couple of days before recording this, Alison texted me to say, just to make sure you do this exactly right, as soon as the grilled cheese has come off the pan, you've got to bite it then. You can't wait till we're recording.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're spot on with that, because it does change. You've still got that nice crunch. We've made a nice sound for the podcast, but the bite I had straight away was the crunchiest bite.
Yeah.
It was dangerously hot, I'm going to say. The stakes were high. I live on the... I'm never not a woman on the edge of a burnt mouth.
I should have been like, be careful. But I just wanted you to have the gooey cheesiness of it, right? Like,
because it goes quite solid straight away, and I sort of like that a bit.
Then you're in the secondary stage of the sandwich.
Yeah.
Right? So there's introductory stage.
Okay.
Now we're in secondary stage where it's still like, but now you're like, now I'm eating a block of cheese and bread.
Yeah.
Whereas initially you're like, ooh, the gooiness. Now you're like, oh, okay, now it's straight up is, I'm eating three pieces of cheese and bread.
In fried bread. Fantastic. Wallop. Well... thank you for introducing me to God. I've always been in awe of people who had a faith. And I think I've looked at the world and thought, you know, what will it be? Will God be a woman? Will God be a mist? Will I be able to know when I've met God? And it turns out, let me tell you, know when you've met God all along.
It's God's, in front of you God's been on a plate.
God's been a grilled cheese sandwich. Mm. The other thing, if I'm honest, that I'd have done, left to my own devices, lots of things. One, wouldn't have cooked it for long enough. Mm. I loved how specific she was about the 7 minutes. 3.5 each side, job done. Two, I'd have fucked it up by adding some shit in there. My instinct would be to stick a pickle or... And I am into pickles, by the way. Tell you how into pickles I am. Instagram never does. Every day I get an advert on my Instagram for a T-shirt that says pickle slut.
You know, the thing is, though, Jess, I don't want you, now that you've been introduced to the world of grilled cheese, I don't want you to stray away from your instincts and your desires to experiment. Mm-hmm. Because a lovely addition, if you like ham, a grilled cheese and ham sandwich. Put the ham in between the cheese, though, because you still need the cheese to stick to the bread. So the ham has to go in the middle. Onion. My fellow loves a little onion in there because he loves onion. So a cheesy onion taste is...
Are you sticking that in raw? Just white
onion? I have. Nice. You can grill it. You can, like, do a whole caramelized thing if you want. But, like, sometimes I'm just lazy, so I'll throw in just some onion. Mm. But he eats raw onion like an animal. He loves it. He'll, like... I'm like, there's something going on with you. You don't know how to feel pain. You're putting yourself through something. But so he'll just eat straight onion. So onion is in there. I liked your idea. Put a pickle in there.
Yeah, get a little pickle in there.
Oh my God, what a great idea, Jess.
Well, I mean, I was thinking of a classic Branston's pickle.
Oh, yeah. I bet you even a little Branston relish.
Oh, yeah.
Might rock some people's world. A thin little layer in there with the cheese.
They've brought out a Branston's pickle that's tiny chunks, extra tiny chunks. And I do like that because you get more pickle to your per smear. You get more actual. Because the chunks, I shouldn't say smear on an eating podcast. But please do go and have your smear, okay? Time recording. It's Cervical Health Awareness Week, so please do go for your smear.
Anyway, go for your smear.
back to the chat about eating. Anyway, thank you for introducing me to this special food, which I've never in my life knowingly eaten in the right way.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy right now that I could bring this to you.
Does this meal have any particular significance for you, other than it's one of your favourite lunches?
Look, this is a very... If I wasn't feeling well, this would be a very common thing. My mom would make me a grilled cheese and tomato soup. So it was kind of like, you know, if I'm not feeling totally 100%, if I had a cold, if I was staying home from school, it was a lot of that. I would eat a grilled cheese sandwich, or the grilled cheese sandwich, tomato soup, and I would watch the movie Heathers.
Oh, yes! Amazing.
That was my, if I was like preteen, teenager, and even still to this day, if I'm not feeling great, I will do this routine for myself. Even my dad, who is not a very like, look, he's a Mancunian man. Emotions are distant from him. He doesn't, you know, but he knew if I was sick, his job was to go to the video store and find that movie Heathers and bring it back for me. So mom would make that and then dad would go get Heathers and they'd be like, now go to the basement and live your sick life. Because that's what I did as a teen. We had a fully formed basements. Like in North America, our basements are like a secondary house. So amazing. I kind of had my whole basement to myself. That was my space. So that's what I would do. So to me, this is a real like... Yeah, my healing time, whether it was emotional or physical or whatever, this is my meal. Because I feel a little bit of guilt. I won't lie. You know, I battle with, you know, food stuff and eating. And to me, just like throwing down a couple of pieces of carbohydrate, cover it in butter and eating cheese goes against every sort of health thing that I've ever tried to like healthily incorporate into my life. So to me, this is like, it really is a treat, right? It's something that is like you need to be like you're doing this for you because you need it.
Self-care.
Exactly. So
feeding the soul,
if you will,
in a way that in the best possible sense. You have to fuck off all other types of like, I don't know, regard for consequences. But equally, it's not like, oh, I don't know, it's not like having 19 donuts on the bounce for lunch.
No,
there's like, you've cut, like, with the soup, you've covered every food group. You've just had like a deeply nutritious feast, right?
Yeah.
Just something filling and full of nutrition.
Absolutely.
But it's hard to always think of it like that. 100%. I hear you. I don't know whether to wait to get into that juicy shit. You know, it's my favorite. Love talking about people's relationships with eating. And I know you're up for it because we've spoken about it in advance. But
no, tell them the desperate message that I sent you after you did WTV. This poor girl.
She's Alison's brilliant podcast.
Never had anyone harass her so much. But, you know,
true.
We talked and I loved, and I immediately went and listened to Hoovering, and I was like, and I was like, I'll try not to read all my diary entries on the podcast, but like, you know, the things that you talk about on this is what is my, yeah, it speaks to my soul. It speaks to my soul, all that stuff. So I sent her this message like, I have two different types of therapy and my relationship with my body, and it's just food is this thing and like no pressure, but like I would just really love to be able to speak with you about, like, it was a little
I
desperate.
Loved it.
I was
really
thirsty. I was thirsty to be on this podcast. So.
Well, but also you were like, right, what should I read? And I love it when I get that question because I've got quite a quick go. Like, the things pop into my head all the time. People are writing new, fantastic, amazing, increasingly more succinct, accessible, brilliant stuff. And I think maybe the conversation started because I shouted online about sort of having fallen back in love all over again with a brilliant, brilliant American podcast called Maintenance Phase. Which is, you know, a game changer. And like one of those podcasts, they take the time to do lots of like incredible research into the stuff, don't they? They like, they pick a thing that was a diet fad. So everything from Weight Watchers through to like right now, Ozempic will have its episode where they will go deep, like a beautiful, deep journalistic, deep, deep dive. They're both journalists, writers and statisticians. So unlike this clown, where I just talk to people about their own stories and our feelings, they're sort of, you know, meeting the diet industry face to face with science and facts in a way that I live in awe of. Takedowns and clapbacks and all the things. Been very honest over the years on this podcast, but my history with disordered eating, I'd call like a lifetime or a cycle of diets disordered eating.
Yeah. Oh my God. How many food journals have you kept? I have every, I mean, what do you want to count in? Do you want to count in calories? Do you want to count in sins? Do you want to macro, micro? What do you want to do? I still track, like, I know it's probably an addiction, but I still, I do still track food. And I'm really trying to work on it because, you know, I speak to a woman about like, you know, my relationship with food. And and they say if you are, if you have any sort of eating things, especially if you're a binge eater, a bit of an overeater, which I tend to, that's my jam,
me
everyone,
too.
That's my jam, that tracking food is actually really bad for you. But it's so inherent in me because, I mean, I've been doing it since I was 12 years old that I don't even know how to not have something go in my mind and be like, just know, you know, like I'll be like, small McDonald's fries, that's 230 calories. You know, like I just kind of know.
Yeah.
I know the fiber count.
There.
I know that. Yeah.
Wow.
No one should be in that frame of mind. So that's where I'm like, oh, my God, Alison, like you have been tracking for a long time. Yeah.
It consumes an enormous. I mean, everyone should do whatever they want with their body, including if they want to track, if they want to chart their macros, micros, fiber, whatever. Go for your life. I think the current thing I found myself being pulled back down that hole with was, or has been, gut health. That's like the latest thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the thing that's coming for us all next will be our spikes, like blood sugar spikes.
Insulin. Yeah. People are getting, because that's what Ozempic is messing with your insulin. Yeah.
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 It's fucking dark, that shit. That's it. But yes, I hear you. And 12 is young, man, to start. Yeah. I think I was on a very similar age. I think about 10 or 11. But also, I have like a really big therapist's wet dream moment at that age. Basically, my parents broke up then. Yeah. And I stopped eating for about a year. And then started eating again, but then never lost until recent years that, like, well, you never lose that knowledge of how many calories are in every single thing. But I don't know that I went as deep. I never, because of the era, it was just calories and actually fat, weirdly, which everybody loves again now. It was pre-anti-carb. It was pre-anti-sugar times. It was pre how much fiber you're getting. It was pre those things. So it was just calories, fat. It was the time of the low-fat spray.
Low-fat everything. Low-fat, which is the worst thing now. Now that we've learned, it's like, yeah, you just filled yourself up with more carbs and sugar is what you did there when you were low-fatting things. Yeah,
100%. And also just what food that announces itself as healthy when you think by what standard and for who? For me, and I can only speak to my own experience. I go mad down that road. The food diary thing, even the therapist that began dragging me out of a life on diets and into the light, genuinely, I would say, in terms of finding intuitive eating and just being able to live in a world where I give not none, but comparatively hardly any fucks about what I eat in terms of the effect it will have on my weight. That even that therapist to start with, because I too would binge, wanted me to keep a food diary. And it just made me mad. I don't know, that's probably not the correct way to say it anymore. Even she said keep a food diary. And the food diary felt as much of a head fuck to me as starting a diet, which always started with a bit of adrenaline. And then actually sort of the hunger and restriction would make me really depressed, just really sad, and then obsessed with food. Yeah. Everywhere I looked, I saw what I could be eating in that place. Like, I felt like, I remember during keeping that diary, having, and at the time I was also trying to keep track of what emotions made me want to eat when I wasn't physically hungry, which also I now think that's, again, not that useful a task, because I can't always tell when I'm physically hungry. Sometimes if I'm busy and I don't think to eat, you go to eat and you're like, oh, I'm starving. But that, I hadn't noticed it. I don't know if you can tell the difference between a fucking physical hunger and an emotional hunger or whatever. But anyway, I was trying to track all these emotions. I remember I had a horrible gig, Leicester, Christmas time, yucky. That gig was horrid. And I came out of it and I knew that the post-gig adrenaline is a time where if I'm on my own, that's a danger time. Like, I want to eat tons because I want to crush my feelings down to none. Uh-huh. And I knew it wasn't hunger, except I also it could substitute that for 3 big drinks of booze. Like, there are lots of things to numb your emotions, but it's too much emotions. And I was sort of walking them out through the town back to the hotel I was staying in. And I felt like 24-hour supermarket, kebab shop, pizza place, fried chicken place. Like, I didn't particularly even want any of the things, but I was just like, I felt like all of them were going, come in here, come in here. And it was like, And actually, that was when I was like, I need to stop keeping the fucking food diary. This is insane.
Because you're like, I'm thinking too much.
Yeah, and I was like, and ultimately, if I do just want to, smash a bag of chips and not feel these feelings anymore, so fucking what? Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it because I was like, I don't want to have to write it on the thing for the lady. I don't want the lady to see my midnight chips. I don't want to have to explain to her I was on a bill with 4 old white straight men doing horrible jokes about how much they hate their wives.
And then they gave me notes afterwards about things I could do to, like,
every
you know,
time.
If you did this and this, you know, I just was thinking, oh, thank you. That's so great. Thank you.
Yeah. God.
I always think a bit of a food, I don't want to say food addiction because we all need to eat, but it is a little bit. If you are addicted to drugs, if you are addicted to alcohol, you at least have to be of an age, find someone to get it for you, go to a place during certain hours. Food is everywhere all the time. Yeah, you can't just stop eating.
Yeah.
You know, that's a part of the problem that you might be dealing with. That might be the spectrum of the side of the food issue that you're at. Like, you can't stop. You have to eat to live. So it's a real, it's interesting.
Tricky. So from 12, yours started. So do you think that was like a puberty thing? Was that like, do you know where it came from, that the beginning of, and, you know, a time-consuming obsession with that stuff, with weight loss?
Yeah, I think it started even earlier. I think, like you said, it's that becoming a teenager is when it started to. But I had been, I've been a chubby kid all my life. From grade 2, all my primary, I was the fat kid. So I was constantly bullied, constantly picked on, constantly, beaten up. Like, I was, so in my mind, that was my identity. So it wasn't until about grade 6 you know, junior high, where I was like, okay, I'm going to get a grip on this. Like, so you start to become, you try to become a girl. Mm. And that's when it all really came to head. When I was a child, I was just sad about it. When I became preteen teen, I was like, I'm going to do something about it, which never, do you know what I mean? Then the battle just begins where you're like, I hate myself. I love it. And it's all about how you look. It's all about what people say to you. So it's like, so for me, it had been there for a long time. And it was at that age that I was like, well, now I got it, because I wanted boys to like me. I wanted boys to like me. And boys don't like the fat girl, right? Boys are taught. And I still believe this to this day. That's why if I wish I was a bigger kid now. I wish I was a chubby kid now, because it's a whole different world. People are taught you are allowed to like or be attracted to whatever you want. When I was growing up, it was like, no, boys like skinny blondes. And don't you forget that. Like, don't you forget that.
So specific.
Yeah, skinny blonde. Yeah. The hockey players all wanted, we used to call them puck bunnies. Puck bunnies. That's who the hockey players wanted to date. Skinny blondes, puck bunnies. Yeah. And so to be desirable to boys, which when you're becoming that teenager, those hormones, that's very important. Yeah. It is an overwhelming desire to want boys to like you. Mm-hmm. That is when I think it started to like really, yeah, get in me and play a real play a real number on me, if you will.
Oh, that's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to end on a positive thing. Like, yeah. I think the fact that you were even asking me about this podcast and things to read means that things are hopefully looking up. Mm-hmm. Or at least there's an intention to like move away from a life consumed by those ideals. It's all we can ask, isn't it? Is that we can reframe and seek help and talk to people. We're very lucky if we've got either time and resources to have therapy, buy the books, read the books. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And thank God, anyone listening to this who thinks, oh, I want to pull myself out of a lifetime obsessively trying to lose weight and just be happy now, which you can, absolutely anyone listening to this can be happy right now, if you want, in the body you're in right now. The body you're in right now is actually splendid. You don't need to spend a load of money on that because, well, there's this podcast, obviously, and maintenance phase, which is free. Podcasts are free. There's some great podcasts out there.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, it's me. I'm interrupting this brilliant episode with Alison June Smith to talk through some of your brilliant listener answers to my listener questions. The question that we're going through some of my favourite answers for today, and thank you so much if you sent any of them in. They've all been really fun. I've loved finding out the sorts of things you eat on your birthdays or you've eaten on anyone's birthday. Thank you, thank you, thank you if you've been sending stuff in. If you don't know what I'm on about, if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter at the Hoovering Pod, every now and again I will ask a question and I'm here for it. I am here for your answers, and the absolute best of the best make it onto the podcast. And that's the bit that's happening now. These were the first responders that made it to the top of my list when it came to interesting things you have had for your birthday. The first person to reply, and they replied instantly, Phil Kill Kelly, I think that's their name, that's their Instagram handle anyway, told us it was her husband's 45th birthday the next day. I went to all the fancy independent shops to get, right, ready for this, ribeye steaks, Malbec,
tequila for Margs, and prawns the size of a medium-sized cat to be drenched in garlic butter. All for the barbecue tomorrow. Fuck me, I nearly came. That sounds so good. I want to be a 45-year-old husband. I took it too far. But I want to have this experience in the mouth that he had that day. What a bloody delicious sounding feast that flipping is. I love it. Next, we've got Helen, who has sent us in. I suppose it's food. I suppose it's eating. It's technically eating. Actually, anything you put in your mouth and swallow is eating. So here's her brilliant birthday eating story. We were en route to my 18th birthday dinner. Okay. With my parents, when my boyfriend pulled out some acid in the back seat of the car, which rather rashly me, my sister and said boyfriend then ate. It's an eating story, right? My dad's stories over dinner were never so funny. There was a blue fly in the toilets and it was memorable, and the eye of the dragon on the wall was quite distracting. I think the Chinese food was good. That's amazing. Okay, right, here comes one that has come in to the WhatsApp from Alex, and this one comes with a picture. Right. Okay, Alex says, birthday food stories. Mine's from just a couple of weekends ago. It was my 42nd birthday. It had been a shit year. I'm going through cancer treatment. My beloved pet had just died. The people I'd had in my business had completely fucked it while I was having cancer surgery, and it was a messy firing. So I had a small birthday barbecue at my place, and I thought I'd make an appropriate cake. Here's a video. Oh, she sent the video. I'm going to play you the video, even though you'll only hear the audio, but I need to tell you what I can see. This isn't any cake. This is a cake that's taken up the entire inside of her fridge. And it genuinely, well, it's doing two things at the same time, which is so impressive. It genuinely looks like shit. She's made a massive cake. It's too big to look like a human shit. It looks like a sort of elephant size shit. It's an enormous, great big brown, scoopy, sloopy dollop. It looks like an actual massive, great big elephant shit, but simultaneously also looks so delicious. It's just the biggest chocolate cake I've ever seen. It just happens to be shaped like a poo emoji, an enormous one. Off, let's hear the video.
Right, so the theory is it's a bit of a shit time, so why don't we do a shit cake? And I've put a bit of glitter on because you can't polish a turd, or can you? There we go, it's my poo cake.
Alex goes on to say, I put glitter on it and a cherry on top, but I did stop short of putting sweet corn on it like my best mate suggested. Worth noting, it tasted fucking delicious and I ate the leftovers for breakfast for several days afterwards. No regrets. Well, Alex, I'm sorry for what a shocking year you have had, but you have more than made up for it with that mighty cake. I couldn't have dreamed for a more brilliant, punchy, on the nose, glorious answer to the question. Tell me your birthday eating stories. Thank you so much, Alex, and anyone else who sent us a birthday eating story. They're all brilliant. You're flipping bonkers, you lot. And I love to see it. Right, let's get back into this episode with Alison. Tell me about a time when you ate something even though you had absolutely no idea what it was.
I once ate what would it be? It would have been a fried, so in Mexico they make fried grasshoppers with like lemon and lime. Yeah, and so my friend was like, oh, I just got back from Mexico. Do you want to try this? They're kind of like a chip, like a crisp. Mm. And I was like, oh, and so I didn't really look. I should probably look before I put things in my mouth. And I was like, yeah. And I put it in and I bit it and I was like, oh, it's real crunchy. It's real salty. And they're like, it's a fried grasshopper. I was like, so I ate an insect one time and didn't know it. So there we
that's
go.
Fun.
Yeah.
Full of protein.
Full of protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I probably would have enjoyed it. I would have been like, oh, this is great. But when they said it is grasshopper, I was like, oh, I used to catch these as children. Like, this is this is weird to me now. Yeah. But yes, that would be my one.
I love it. Do you believe there's anything that demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way? Do you have like a way that you eat your whatever? I want detail. I want like filth. I want erotic detail.
Okay, so some crisps, but particularly Doritos, I like the tangy cheese. And what I do is when I first open up the bag, I kind of peruse the bag and I look for the most covered in the cheese dust. And I'll take the most covered in the cheese dust. And then what I like to do is just bite a little bit off and suck the cheese off of it.
Yeah.
Then eat the rest of the cheese and then do that for it. And then sometimes if I get one that has a lot of stuff, I'll just like kind of lick. I just like to lick that powdery cheese substance off.
The one that's like okra. The one that's like the deepest terracotta.
Yeah.
With cheese, with Dorito dust.
Mm-hmm.
The one that looks like a kind of Peruvian sunset.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
Like the sun rising on the day that Jesus came back. That one.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
That's the one. Cheesiest one. That is a great idea.
Savor it. Savor it. Then you're savoring each crisp. That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lovely thing to think about. Do you know what it's made me want? Do you know what I learned it way too recently? Is that Pringles, automatically you want, maybe this will change your life, but you might already know it, if you're someone who enjoys the stronger side of a crisp.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they've got like a domed shape.
They're like a saddle. It's like a saddle, yeah.
In your, you know, all logic says put it in with the shape of the top of your mouth. So you put it in kind of hollowed side down.
Yeah.
That's the weaker side. And if you go against logic and turn it upside down and put it in like an upturned boat, so you're going to have to use like more of your mouth to get it in, you've got the powerful
flavor.
You've got the flavorful side, tongue down, on your tongue. There.
I will never forget that.
Okay. I wish they did. I wish if anyone's listening from those companies, there would be a Pringles and Tangy Cheese Dorito collab, because that would bring me deep joy.
I mean, guys, if you're out there, if you're listening.
Stupid not to get together, really. We've all been waiting to see. That's the will they, won't they? At the end of the series that we've all been hanging on, hoping happens. How do you feel about sharing food, really?
I will share food if they have some food that I want.
Okay.
So it's more of a trade than I'll be like, yes. I think one of the things that it's so funny. My boyfriend, Danny, I've never had to ask him. If he eats something, he'll like take a few bites and then look at me and be like, do you want to try? And it was like our first date where he offered me some of what he was eating. And I was like, yeah, this one could be it. Like, because immediately he was like, I didn't have to ask. He was like, do you want to try my food? And I was like, yes. Do you want to try mine? And he was like, yes. And it was like this. Yeah. And it's been 9 years.
You found the one the first time you ever had a relationship with anyone who wasn't an only child. That's incredible.
Real simple, everyone. He offered me his food, and I'm not gone. 9 years later, I'm still here eating his food.
Oh, I love it. That is actually really sweet and romantic thing to find and love in. Isn't it funny, those things that you clock really early on, and when you think, yeah, that's good. Yep, I like that. We're on a packed train from Gatwick to London Bridge, and then my Mrs. Steph spotted almost a carriage up that there was like a couple with a little baby that had ended up not sitting together. She was like, hey, let's give them us. And I was like, you're gonna get kissed, you are. That was a fit thing to have noticed that someone miles away up there needed a seat, you sexy bastard. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any foods that you once hated that now you love?
That's a very good question. Okay, I think the first time, it took me a minute. I think the first time I ever had tapioca pudding.
Oh, is that the same thing that they make the balls out of at the bottom of bubble tea?
It's similar, yes. Oh. Yeah, bubble tea is a larger consistency. It's a bit more like catapults being fired into the back of your... But tapioca, it's a bit smaller, almost like a rice pudding, people might even say, too. And the first time I had it, I was like... I'm more of a savory girl than a sweet girl as well. So I was like, I don't really love desserts. But now, if I've had, like, I had one when I went back to Canada recently. My friend made homemade tapioca pudding. Who knew? I couldn't get enough of it. So I was like, oh, my palate has changed over time. So there we go, tapioca pudding.
I also am a saltier rather than a sweet person. But do you have any sweet things that you have, like, on your list other than now tapioca pudding that you think, yeah, I do want that? Because I have moments. I generally would like, I'd like starters on my pudding, and I would rather have another starter or cheese board than a pudding.
Always a cheese board. Always a cheese board. Sorry to jump in there. Go on.
I like that. Yeah. Really like that.
Oh, yeah. It's like another meal after the meal.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking glorious.
Yeah.
But every now and again, I will specifically crave chocolate. And that's off. That's quite hormonally linked, I think. But 2 days pre-period, I'm like, I'm like on a sort of a mindless conveyor belt towards. I mean, I'd love them to sponsor me one day, but Minstrels, often it's Minstrels. I want a Galaxy Minstrel.
That's
been the last 6 months, once a month.
Yeah,
farm myself down that aisle.
Yeah.
And even though I don't care about puddings, I do struggle to say no to an ice cream in the summer. I like an ice cream.
Yeah. What's your favourite ice cream? What is your...
I had the best ice cream I've ever had in San Sebastian, and it was one scoop of amaretto, and this one's going to cause waves. One scoop of coffee flavour ice cream. I love coffee flavour ice cream.
But amaretto and coffee are two things that, I mean, to me, that would be a beautiful combination. You know,
I'd have to be paid to eat a fruit flavored ice cream. I'm not into them.
Yes, strawberry can go fuck itself.
Yeah, who's picking that? Fuck that.
Although I'm weird, I like a vanilla. I know it's weird.
No, I get it. That's very chefy of you. That's very chefy of you.
I love a straight up vanilla. To me, I judge a vanilla by the vanilla. You're like, oh, this is buttery. This is okay, so as far as sweets, one that has really knocked my socks off, and I have to stop myself every time. Whenever Danny goes to the shop, he's like, do you want me to grab anything? And I'm like, no. It is... no.
No. No. Say it like a question. Is the answer no?
Read my mind. The answer is yes, but the word is no. I had it for the first time. Like maybe 3 months ago, what do they call it? A Viennese whirl? The biscuit, a Viennese whirl, which is...
Oh, like a shortbread, but in a swirly formation.
Yeah. And inside is cream and a bit of strawberry. So it's like a... why am I blanking on
jammy dodger?
Kind of like a jammy dodger, but a fancier jammy dodger. And it almost tastes like a... Why am I forgetting the type of cake? I'm thinking of a
Victoria sponge.
That's it. It tastes like a Victoria sponge. Oh my God.
Yum, I couldn't.
And it's like three cookies in one. And so, I mean, I was like, of course, this is the goddamn cookie I've fallen in love with. It's a biscuit that's three biscuits in one. No wonder it's the best biscuit I've ever tasted. But they are mind blowing. So I have to really, but yeah, I would, I mean, yes, anytime. Those are so good.
Quick fire questions. Tell me about food that you won as a prize or were given as a gift.
I won a pot of gold chocolate tray. So yeah. So I won, it was in elementary and I believe I did a crossword correctly. I don't win things all that often. I don't know why, because I'm not good at spelling either. So the fact that I won chocolates from doing a crossword, really exciting. And it was delicious. And I was proud of myself. Yeah.
Get in. pineapple on pizza or, do fuck off. Egg on pizza, or please fuck off now.
I've never even heard of that, and I don't want to hear of it again.
Best thing you've ever had on a pizza. Go.
Bacon.
Yummy. Okay, spiciest thing you've ever eaten.
Too much, when I go to have Vietnamese, too much of their chili sauce. Too much of the chili sauce has lit my
head. It's just chili seeds, isn't it? It's just chili seeds and oil, isn't it?
Yeah. And the oil's spicy. It doesn't help. The oil gets in you and it's,
Love it. Worst thing you've ever found in something that you were eating?
Glass.
Oh, no.
I did. little shard of glass and a pre-prepared meal, everyone. All I'm saying is those companies don't always do it right. Be careful. Don't trust it. Yeah.
Hangover, what are you having?
Okay, hangover. I will probably have soup. Soup of some sort, because that
she
goes
loves
in
a
easy.
Soup, a wild soup.
Yeah, a nice soup and some toast. Soup and toast. Those are the things. If I'm really like, bleh. Yeah, soup and toast.
No other option. Would you eat a person?
Like for death? Like I'm going to die? Oh, yeah, I'd eat a person.
Me too. Yeah. I'd ask if they could deliver them to me. In a grilled cheese.
Now it's time for the fifth end question.
An anglerfish comes up from the bottom of the sea and curses us all with her life. Her ex-lover's corpses have to dangle from her undercarriage forever. She's got a big dangling willy thing out of her forehead with a torch on the end, which she can never turn off, but also needs because she lives in the pitch black dark. She's got, sorry to feminism for this, but the absolutely horrible, fucking horrible teeth. Like nasty, nasty teeth, right? And when everyone's going round like that, it's grim, Alison. It's spiky, angry, murderously grim. People start dying from vanity, proximity to ex-partner jealousy, big teeth, like a million awful knives, that they cause accidents. Everyone going round like that, accidentally killing each other like that with them. Let alone once they realise there isn't room for us all at the bottom of the sea now, they're all anglerfish, and so we can't breathe, etc. It's disgusting. Unbody posy apocalypse. But luckily it's agreed to have never happened, only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Alison, go all the way up the Zambezi River, but on a pedalo with no brakes, and all the while reading out the periodic table with your mouth, but also in sign language, so no one can get any snacks to you at all. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. You go down in history as the woman who saved us all from a really horrible anglerfishy death. Your award in reality is a place in history. A Wikipedia page full of this awesomeness. You're a deity. It's the adulation of all people for all time. Your award in the moment, though, and you are flipping hungry after all that Nile action. It's the feast of your dreams. I'm looking for joy here. You're the hungriest and happiest you can imagine ever being. But your answer right now, what are you eating? What are you drinking?
I would start with McDonald's fries.
Yes.
Okay, McDonald's fries. I would probably go for a large, because large to me is, it's never, the small is ridiculous.
Small,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Small.
So I'll go for a large McDonald's fries. Then my main would be Vietnamese food, a bún. Mm. So I like the pork. I like pork belly. I like it usually sliced really thin with like the noodles and the fish sauce. I like extra bean sprout as well. I like a lot of bean sprout mixed in there as well. So that would be the main.
And am I just thinking, I've got, just check, is that like the baguette? Basically, like
no. Bowl. It's a bowl.
Oh, like a foot without.
So it's got like the little skinny rice noodles, the vermicelli noodles.
Yeah.
So it's not a soup.
Yeah.
It's not the pho. It's a bowl.
It's like a rice noodle salad, but with the thin, thin sliced pork. Yeah. So fresh, so yum.
Yeah.
Full of all those lovely mint and coriander and fresh herbs and fresh cut chili.
Some peanuts. I like some peanut in there for a texture. Yeah, I add a little bit of hoisin sauce. Not a lot, though, because I like it more fish saucy than the sweet saucy. Mm. So that would be the main. And then the after would be a very large cheese board and cracker ensemble.
Oh, yeah. You got and anything? Does there have to be anything particular to drink here, or does it not bother you?
I really, this is where it goes a little off kilter, guys. Yeah. I really enjoy a very cold, sparkling water. I know.
No, that is fine.
I love sparkling water.
Hoovering Podcast.
I mean, that took a turn. We all love sparkling water. Joke. I know it's hugely controversial, but I think that's the domain of the other eating podcast. But really, Alison, as your fantasy drink, we can only blame how thirsty we must have both been subconsciously after those mind-blowingly delicious grilled cheeses. Oh, they were so, so, so good. What a juicy, lovely, fun, joyful rollercoaster episode with the wonderful Alison June Smith. Please go and see her do live comedy, do stand-up. She's so brilliant. And send her your wildest, most wild, wild, wild of wild soup recipes. She's asked for them. She is on Instagram, at
Alison J, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N-J. Listen to her podcasts, WTB, a.k.a. Women Talking Bollocks with Jen Brister and Maureen Younger, and she also co-hosts the absolutely brilliant Horror Motel podcast too. Listen to it all. I've been on WTB and it's pant-wettingly funny. Get on it. In terms of my shit, just keep your eyes peeled for my new 2024 tour show dates coming out any day now, please. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.